You're listening to KYRS 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Good afternoon, everybody. It's Federica on the show So Did You Hear, a contemporary culture talk show in which I, your host Federica, take a deep dive in everything that's happening in modern contemporary culture today, from some pretty serious topics all the way to some fun pop culture topics. You can find a little bit of everything in the show. And today, we're keeping things kind of on the lighter side. We're going to talk about something that is very relevant to pop culture today. And if you have been anywhere on the internet, on social media, watching TV, in any way connected to the digital world, you will recognize this theme song. That's right. Today we are talking about everything Stranger Things related. You guys, I am excited because, of course, I'm also a little bit sad because, of course, we just had the season finale, the all-time finale of Stranger Things. And over the past decade, this, I would argue, has become the show to define a decade. And so it is definitely a hot topic in popular culture today. It's something that I nerd out about. I've always loved Stranger Things since the very beginning of the show, and I just want to geek out and talk about it. And let's just kind of have a fun show, talk about Stranger Things and why I think that this show has gotten so big. Why is it having such a moment right now? How did it get to being such a cultural icon in media and in entertainment, as well as my own kind of favorite parts about it and things that I think could have been done a little better if you're, again, caught up on everything and paying attention to social media. You know that there is a lot of back and forth about how the season finale went. So we are going to get into it all today. And with that said, this is your cue that there will be spoilers. So if you're watching Stranger Things and you're not caught up in the finale, I will cue when we're going to go talk into more details about the season finale, because I do want to dedicate some time for that. So you feel free to skip that section. I will announce when we get into that area. So if you haven't caught up, or if you don't want to hear spoilers, just keep an eye out. And again, you have been warned, there will be spoilers later on in the show. Okay, so let's get into it. Stranger Things Season 5 was released over the course of 3 different release dates in the past month. Just over a month now, the time that this show is airing in early January. First half of the Season 5 finale, of course, aired on Thanksgiving Day. The second half aired on Christmas, and the ultimate season finale, which was a 2-hour-long episode, essentially a movie, aired on New Year's Day 2026. So, huge moment in culture right now. Stranger Things, over the course of the past decade, since I believe it was first released in 2016, has become something of a cultural icon in American media. And I find it really interesting. I think that it makes sense in the context of kind of what's going on in broader culture in some ways, but it also, I think, speaks to the kind of just creative masterpiece that this series is and has become over time. Whether you like the way that the finale panned out or not, because it is definitely decisive, people have a lot of strong opinions about that. I think it is it's definitely one of my favorite shows of all time. I put it up there right next to Breaking Bad, which is my favorite drama of all time. This show, for many of us, has followed us along a very event-filled decade. The show has definitely been sort of a companion, I would say, for many of us who have followed the series since the beginning. And it certainly has for me. And so that's why this moment feels really quite bittersweet, because of course now it's over and we're kind of going, I'm left with a sort of cultural void, a void of like, okay, well, what's next now? Now what What will ever replace Stranger Things? And I don't think anything can. I don't think anything will ever fill that void, guys. Like, I'm just being completely honest, and I'm going to be sad about it for a little while, probably. I think a lot of people can agree. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic show. It has been one of my favorites since the very beginning. I started watching, I believe it was 2017, and what I think has really stuck out to me about this series in my personal perspective and how it's accompanied me in my life is that this show over the past decade has been a one constant thing in my life over a time period that has been full of constant change. When I first started watching Stranger Things, it was, a year after it came out, 2017. And the show hadn't blown up then yet. This was only season one. And it was a time in my life when I had just graduated college the year before, just moved in with my partner, and was adjusting to life, to a new life that felt really kind of confusing. And there's a sort of a irony in that, because I'm also now, a decade later, once again in a state of transition in my life with my partner and I. And it almost feels a little bit full circle from when I started watching the show to the way we are ending it now. And it's become a sort of measure by which I kind of measure the eras of my life. Like, I can remember more or less every time a new season of Stranger Things came out represents a different chapter in this past era of my life. And I've been in a very distinct state. You know, it's every chapter that marks has been a unique evolution of my personal life. So there's a sort of, that's really a personal connection with the show in that sense, that it's been a companion for me in along the past decade. I think a lot of people can probably relate with that. In fact, just kind of talking to friends who are really into the show and have followed it from the beginning and following conversations online, I've heard this kind of from a lot of people. Like, this, a lot of people grew up with this show. And I would say it's kind of similar for those of us, for those who are on the younger side and coming of age. I compare it a little bit to how, for example, Harry Potter was a series, of course, movies, books and movies, but the movies for me particularly, that was the movie series that kind of defined my childhood and coming of age, because, you know, those of us who are late millennials started watching the show or watching the movies, I guess, when they first started coming out, when we were still young children. And as the characters in the story progressed and aged, so did we. And I actually remember I was a senior in high school when the last Harry Potter movie came out, and it was just this perfect timing of like the end of an era. It marked my own childhood and coming of age. And so I think for some people who are younger, Stranger Things fills a similar space. It's been a decade, 10 years. That's a long time. So I think about all the people growing up with this show, and I wonder, you know, how we will look at it in the future. When we look at media, we often think about real iconic pieces that marked an era. And it's music, it's TV shows. You think of like sitcoms from the 90s. Friends, for example, was like the icon TV show of the 90s and early 2000s. You have Breaking Bad kind of marked an era, and maybe less of a popularly mainstream following sort of, or popularly followed show like Friends was. I think Breaking Bad was a little more niche, but it still kind of defined an era of television. So, and I would say Stranger Things is the next evolution of that, except it's not television, it's streaming. Or like Game of Thrones, I think Game of Thrones, because that went on for about a decade as well, was a series that kind of defined the transition from television to streaming. And as the show progressed, we saw media transition from broadcast television to people consuming more online streaming. And so Stranger Things, I think, it's an interesting defining work for Netflix. because when we think about previous TV shows and movie series that mark an era, we think about the networks that they were associated with, things like Bravo, HBO, etc. And HBO is kind of a weird hybrid because it did start as a broadcast channel, but now it's almost exclusively streaming. And what was Breaking Bad on? I'm struggling to even remember what channel or which network it was on. But we transitioned from networks having their kind of golden egg defining show, their pride, their crown jewel that marked the network's success, going from television to streaming. So I think that Stranger Things is Netflix's sort of crown jewel. And I'm curious to kind of see what is going to come next, because it is going to be so hard to, hold up a candle to the success that this show has had. So it's a big moment for media. And I also think that, there's a lot of themes, and just when we're talking about the Duffer Brothers and the production and the creativity that went into this show, there are a lot of thematic pieces that I think really helped elevate this show to the sort of massively successful series that it is. So let's dig into that a little bit. Here's what I think might be going on there. Why is this show having such a moment right now? How did it get to be so big? And I really especially notice a big shift in the show's following starting around season 4, because between season 3 and season 4, I'm trying to remember when it came out. Did it come out? I think it came out right around COVID. And then there was a long time when we were all kind of left in limbo. And we thought maybe the show might be canceled. Like a lot of shows were over COVID. A lot of shows that had a lot of potential just kind of got stopped in their tracks. And, there was a lot of momentum behind those series. And then COVID just kind of killed it. I'm thinking about, for example, Euphoria, the HBO series that was really having a big moment in the early, late 2010s. 2019 is when it started, I believe. And so 2019, 2020, all the way through COVID, was having a really big moment. And then, they made it through 2 seasons. And I think the timelines just got really messed up because of COVID. And the show's just kind of been indefinitely stopped, and I don't really see a way for them to move forward now, because those actors, the actors in the series were supposed to be teenagers, and now they're all full grown adults and have moved on to other things. Zendaya's moved on, what's her name from Spokane, Sydney Sweeney, has moved on. All that whole cast has just kind of moved on to do other things. And I think a lot of people expected that the same thing would happen with Stranger Things. However, it did not. We managed to kind of pull it off in a way, not without some hiccups, but that was, I think, a pleasant and maybe kind of shocking surprise for some people when Stranger Things season 4 and 5 were announced post-COVID, because a lot of people expected that the show would just be over. People were saying, the kids, the main characters are kids. They're all going to be grown up. They're going to be too old to play their characters anymore. And that's going to be it. And it wasn't. They managed to work around the interruption and the lag and continue on. So I think after that, I saw a lot more following and enthusiasm for the show. I think that's when it started to really kind of blow up. It was this kind of moment of, oh, wow, okay, they're doing this. Let's see how this goes. Oh, okay, this is actually pretty good. So I think just in the way that the production team and the cast crew happened to come together post-COVID and keep the show going was a really cool moment to see, because you oftentimes, especially nowadays, and I think Netflix is especially guilty of this, they just cancel things left and right, and you get invested in a show, and then I think especially after COVID, so many things just failed. So Stranger Things was a survivor. Not only didn't only survive COVID, it thrived after COVID. And that's really a unique thing for a lot of networks and streaming platforms with shows that, you know, didn't make it through COVID. It's an iconic moment. So there's that. And I also think that there are a lot of, like, if you were looking at the themes in the show Stranger Things, and it's a modern take on a classic tale that I think is just incredibly relatable to a wide range of audiences in a way that doesn't feel trite and overdone. And that's kind of a hard line to walk nowadays. It's I think, creatively, not always an easy thing to pull off. Because you can only do so many themes. You think about the biggest things in Stranger Things, and here we hear, you know, there's a lot of things that have been done a million times. It's a show about friendship and coming of age. And how many shows about friendship and coming of age are there? How do you make that unique? It's really, you know, just in and of itself is unique in that it stands out the way it does because it's such a common theme. But Stranger Things just does it in a way that was really successful. There's also, of course, there's sci-fi, there's mystery. There's a little bit of a hodgepodge of so many things. Elements of horror, elements of like just interpersonal thrillers and drama. There's comedy. There's just so much. And it has been done in a way where the character development just really stands out. I think what's really cool about the show is that each and every character got their own unique story arc, and I think the level of planning and development between the seasons and the way that the character, each of the main characters got their own arc was really well thought out. So it just, you know, a lot of times shows can kind of drop the ball when it comes to character development. A character fails to develop or gets kind of put aside, or there's clash in how the character develops. I think there are some exceptions to this. For example, like Vecna's character, which again, I'll get to that when we get to the later segment of the show, because I think there's some, there's a lot of holes and unresolved questions about some things in the finale. But when I look at the development of characters, of course, we have Eleven, the megastar of the show, and just her character evolution and the evolution of her personality and how she starts out almost as a sort of alien who just doesn't know what anything is and doesn't know anything about other people, to becoming a very well-developed and kind of complex character with agency. And you see her own struggles and ups and downs, not only in her, you know, the sci-fi superhero kind of superpower aspect of her character, but I think what is particularly captivating about her character is her humanity. All the expressions of human character development that was written into Eleven's character. That's, I think, what is especially powerful about her. And of course, amplified with the fact that she has superpowers. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, the superpowers are almost a complement to her character rather than being the main focus. Because it wouldn't be the same if you had a flat character with superpowers. I hate to say it, but I think like a lot of superhero movies and series nowadays have this where this issue where it's really easy to get lazy with writing if you're expecting, I think, the superpower element of a fictional character to carry the weight of selling that character and making that character relevant and interesting. It's really easy to get, you know, it's like, okay, lazy with it, because you're like, I think I see this in some superhero series, like, oh yeah, this character has cool superpowers and that's what makes them interesting, but you look at their actual character, the development, they're just really, it's like a cookie cutter good guy, bad guy, chaotic good, chaotic bad. These are D&D terms, which of course I love that Stranger Things is all based on D&D, but it's really easy to get lazy with, I think, character development, and it gets kind of left out of the picture, just the interpersonal relationships between the characters when you're working with sci-fi and superhero type characters, characters with superpowers, magic, etc. The effects and the novelty can take up space, too much space sometimes, where the character development fades in the background. And Stranger Things does not do that. Stranger Things does an excellent job with the character evolution of Eleven and even some of the other, all of the other main characters in their own right. And I think that is one thing that made this show really successful. And of course, there's the nostalgia. We have been having a big moment. Nostalgia in general has been really having a big moment in media for the past several years. And so it is not at all surprising that Stranger Things, with the themes of the 80s nostalgia, has all the success that it has nowadays. I think that, well, for me, one of the things that really, I think I got me so hooked on the show in the beginning, aside from just like the mystery aspect, because I think that's the thing that really got me, that gets you in season one, is the whole thing is a mystery. And the main character, you could argue that the main character, Will, is basically barely even in the season. He's just kind of the boy that's missing, and that whole mystery element, of course, got me hooked. And so the mystery shows, that's a nostalgic genre in and of itself, and it'd been a while since I found a show that hooked me like that and got me so, like, invested in the mystery aspect of the show. And it reminded me, it's nostalgic and calls back to series like The Goonies, right? I think that's one of the series that the Duffer Brothers, it was heavily inspired from, or even things like It, well, or Stephen King and the novel It, and of course there's the movie, and now the TV series, Welcome to Derry. There's these sort of themes of nostalgia, mystery, spooky tales from previous eras that is really captivating and definitely got me hooked on the show in the beginning. And then, of course, there's the music and the soundtrack. I mean, how can you not love the Stranger Things soundtrack? Between the 80s nostalgia songs, just having a huge moment. I mean, Kate Bush, who knew that Kate Bush would be having a huge moment again in, you know, 2023 through 2026 with her hit single that is featured heavily in the series, Running Up That Hill. You know, it's like that was a song that I'd expect to hear, like, in the grocery store in the background, and would never even go out of my way to listen to it, but the series made it so big again, and now it's a huge hit again. And it's been remixed and, you know, sampled a bunch of times. You know, good for Kate Bush. I'm glad. I hope she is, taking in those royalties and having a, you know, living her best life. But yeah, so we have those, the nostalgia music and other 80s classics. You got Prince in there. You got all sorts of, The Clash and so many hits from that previous era in the early 80s. And it honestly got me more into 80s music, because I was never really a huge fan of 80s music. I did grow up listening to a lot of oldies with my family, and it was mostly music from the 60s through the 80s, but a lot of stuff from the 80s never really clicked with me. I did end up still listening to older bands like Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, etc., but nothing much from the 80s. But Stranger Things kind of, I guess, revamped a little bit of an interest in nostalgia and 80s music for me. And then, of course, there's just all the synths and the just the soundtrack, the background tracks in the show. It just really gets in my ear. I think because it's very electronic synth heavy, and it kind of recalls to a lot of sounds that you hear in electronic dance music, specifically in trance, the trance genre. And of course, I'm a huge trance lover, so that totally makes sense. The soundtrack was one of the first things to get me hooked on the show. But so you have all these themes of nostalgia, and you know, I do think that in and of itself, when we zoom out a little bit, nostalgia is having a big moment in media right now, and I think that that's connected to just the era that we live in contemporarily, where nostalgia really seems to thrive in times of upheaval and instability, when things in the outside world get chaotic and unpredictable. I think what often happens is you see a shift in the kind of media that cultures consume, and you see a lot of shift towards the past, idolizing the past and revamping nostalgia things, because when the world or our lives feel kind of unpredictable, in flux, stressful, etc., we tend to look to the past for comfort. And so I think you really see this at play on a mass scale in our culture with the kind of media and series that we're seeing be popular today. And you see this everywhere. You see it in fashion, you hear it in music, and definitely in television. And of course, so Stranger Things leans heavily in the nostalgia element of things, especially the earlier seasons. I think there were a couple times where they were really like laying it on thick in the series, if I'm being honest. Like, I think season 2 and season 3 in particularly, like, just if for those of you, if you're new to the show or haven't seen this part yet, this is like a tiny bit of a spoiler alert about season 2. Just, you know, skip over the next few seconds if you haven't seen the series and don't want to spoil anything, although I'm not going to be like super detailed about it, but spoiler right here. There's, of course, the scene where Eleven runs away and she finds her long-lost sister, 8. So that whole like little storyline, which I think so much more could have been done there to evolve that storyline, because again, spoiler alert again, she reappears at the very end of season 5, at the very just total end. She makes an appearance, and then, like, you know, it was very short-lived. That character, I think so much more could have been done with that character's evolution in storyline. But anyways, going back to the nostalgia thing, when she first appears in season 2, we see that, you know, Eleven runs away and lives with her, and the cast and companion characters and the environment they live in, you know, I think it's like the writers were trying really hard to lean into this sort of almost cyberpunk sort of retro modern 80s nostalgia themes. And it was, I think, at a point where it's like, even just looking at, you know, there's these runaway kids like that are basically homeless, and in the series they made it look like they're like just living their best life in a sort of almost a, you know, Batman cave sort of environment underground, where it's this really cool technicolor neon place. And it was just, you know, of course, this is a series about sci-fi. There's a lot of things that aren't realistic, but if you're going to at least stay in the storyline, like, keep some things consistent. And I think they lost the plot a little bit, I think, in earlier seasons, like season 2, a little bit of season 3, where I think they were just trying so hard to hit the nostalgia buttons to the point that some of the details didn't make sense to the storyline. But all that being said, huge hit show for nostalgia. It's very reminiscent of things like Stephen King books, The Goonies, and those mystery books, and just a callback to an earlier era when maybe some of us were children, you know, some people who were kids in the 80s, the 90s even, when It was more normalized for kids to just go out and disappear and ride their bikes all day and go off on adventures. And that's not something that you really see in the modern era as much anymore. And so there's a whole slew of things you could talk about with that, right? Just the change of the appearance of childhood, the way childhood has changed over the past decades. And Stranger Things calls back to an earlier era where childhood maybe, and of course this is it's kind of an idyllic representation, but maybe kids had more freedom. They had more, they weren't so interconnected online and were outside riding their bikes, having adventures. And I think there's definitely a nostalgia element there just in the representations of childhood and friendship in general. And things were kind of a simpler time in that sense. So, yeah, a lot of heavy nostalgia themes that I think really elevated the show to pull on people's heartstrings in a lot of ways. And I also, you know, I think another thing the show does fairly well, it doesn't do a perfect job of this, but it has a way of threading together all these different stylistic themes that could easily go wrong when you try to mush them all together. So kind of like I was saying earlier, Stranger Things pulls on a lot of different kinds of literary and media themes. There's the nostalgia, there's the friendship themes, then there's the sci-fi, there's the mystery and thriller element, there's the horror elements, there's you know, wacky characters, like, that are just kind of ridiculous and, like, what in the heck is going on here? But it does it in a way that makes sense. And then there's the comedy. And it just has this way of threading together all these different thematic elements that can make for a disaster in some cases with writing. I think if you try to mush too many themes together and make it, it's a horror, but it's also funny, but it's also like a serious, you know, there's some really deep themes, but then there's also all these wacky characters that pop out of nowhere. And it's like, it seems like it shouldn't work well together. It shouldn't be good, but it is for the most part, you know, not perfect, but I think the show does a good job of kind of blending those things together. And, I think another thing, I don't know how much of this the Duffer Brothers did intentionally, or if this is just something that really blew up on the internet and is just going ham now online, but the Easter eggs, there's a lot of the hidden messages, hidden foreshadowing and Easter eggs throughout the series. Of course, that those are things that make a series rewatchable. And of course I have watched the entire series, well, I've watched every season at least one way through now. I have rewatched season 1 and season 4 twice because I was getting caught up. So let's see, I watched season 1 twice, and then I rewatched season 4 shortly after it came out, just, I don't know, for funsies or my own memory. And then since season 5 came out, right before season 5 came out, and went all the way back and watched the whole series through again. And it's one of those shows where if you rewatch it, the chances are you're going to pick up on something you didn't the first time around. And there's a lot of little hidden Easter eggs in there. And it's also really interesting, I think, sometimes to, especially when it's a mystery. It's a show that begins as a mystery and ends as a sort of a, I don't know, by the end of the show, there are still mystery elements. I mean, they really tried to throw kind of a curveball at us at the very end with the little, I guess it's not really a spoiler, but, you know, the truth about the Upside Down and what the Upside Down is. And they just hit us with that, like, last minute in the end of the series. Like, wow, okay, crazy. What the heck? You know, I think they really did try to keep the mystery elements evolving throughout the show, which is hard to do, right? Because you start with season 1 and it's a missing kid. It's like it's a mystery about a missing boy. And now there's all these weird sci-fi kind of paranormal things happening. and you're not sure what the monster is. You don't even see the monster. You don't even, you know, the element of the eeriness, that is like one of my favorite types of themes in horror movies and thrillers. Those types of movies where you don't even actually see the monster for a huge chunk of time, if there is a monster. You don't see the monster hardly at all, if ever. And the mystery is kind of the star of the show. It is the theme that carries the weight of the movie, or, you know, the story in general. And, you know, after season one, I thought at first, if you just watch season one alone, it can be a standalone series, like beginning, middle, end, and there's still things unanswered, but it seems like you get a full story arc just within the full season, in the first season. And then I remember after watching season one, wondering, okay, well, where are they going to go from here? Like, we kind of solved the mystery. Oh, no, they didn't. They kept expanding it. It's a universe that keeps expanding, and every season brought in a new element. And I think that's a tricky thing to pull off, because if you're going to widen the mystery, you're going to keep having to add in more and more and more elements to the universe. And that gets harder to sustain the longer the show goes. And I think that's where I think we started to run into some issues at the very finale. Just, you know, little plot holes and things feeling rushed. I think that when it came to the very end, again, I guess this is a little bit of a spoiler, just this is my impression of my feelings in general about how the series ended. I think it left something to be desired as far as the evolution of the mystery in the universe of the upside down and alternate universe themes there, that kind of got cut short a little bit, and I felt a little bit robbed of what could have been a deeper, more fleshed out storyline. But I say that taking in consideration the fact that it is, I think, really hard to keep expanding mysteries. Like, how are you going to keep having to level up? Because, again, a little bit of a spoiler alert if you haven't seen the series. Each season kind of introduces a new sort of monster or a new element about the alternate reality we didn't know before. There's a new mystery, a new challenge, a new thing, unknown thing to be solved in each season. And that's a hard thing to pull off well. So I think they really did probably the best. It left something to be desired at the end, but overall, the series does a really good job with it. I think the series probably had to grapple with what a lot of series have to grapple with when it comes to evolving, building, universe building and world building and expanding storylines. And I see this with things like the Marvels series and, even like Transformers, a lot of sci-fi superhero series. There comes to a point where it gets overdone. The universe expansion can only go so far creatively, and everything starts to feel repetitive. So yeah, I think maybe there was some things to be desired at the very end there with Stranger Things, but overall I think the series does a really good job with the world building and universe expansion and just the whole mystery sci-fi element of things. I remember when I first started reading or watching the series, there was this whole period I got really into like theoretical physics, because they're talking, the series, of course, takes some great liberties with, you know, what is realistic and not realistic. But just the themes of like the actual science bits and the sci-fi themes were interesting to me. I got really into learning about like black holes and, you know, multiple worlds theory and all this sort of stuff, simulation theory. I went down this huge like, what even is reality rabbit hole after watching the series, and got really into like actual like documentaries about theoretical physics and stuff. So I really kind of tickled my nerdy brain in a way that got me really hooked with the kind of sci-fi themes for a while. In fact, I, because of that, went through all this long list of shows in between seasons, waiting for new Stranger Things to come out. Whenever I finished a season, I'd be left with this, like, yearning for more kind of sci-fi mystery, alternate reality-related content. And so I did a deep dive all through Netflix and HBO, Hulu, all these other shows that kind of hit that, like, itch, that scratch, or scratch that itch for more, like, alternate reality-related mystery-type series. And I like seeing that now. This is all over social media. There, I saved a post. There's a lot of posts going up now about what to watch after watching Stranger Things. I think it's even on Netflix, like, what to watch after you watch Stranger Things. And I was looking through the list, and I was like, man, I have literally already watched all of the... I have gone through that entire list already, almost entirely. I think Paper Girls, there's a series, I believe it's called Paper Girls. I have not seen that one. I know that was recommended. But the first things that come up when they recommend it right now... there's It, Welcome to Derry, which is a series spinoff of the Stephen King's It series, The Killer Clown. I have watched that, by the way. It's pretty good. It's out there. It's definitely out there. It's, yeah, wild, but good series if you're really into the themes of, like, they have the similar themes of horror and mystery and supernatural alternate reality related themes in there, and the kids, of course, and the nostalgia. There's also Dark, which is a German language original series, also dealing with parallel universes and alternate realities. Really good. It also has the 80s themes there. It's about time travel. It expands to a really intricate web. It's really good. I'd highly recommend it, but I will say it's one of those shows you have to pay attention to, because as the story progresses, the plot just gets more and more convoluted, because it's like, it's time travel and it gets more and more complicated. There's like duplicates of people in the present, the past, the future, and it gets really intense and hard to follow at some points. You might want to save a flowchart, because that's what I had to do to keep up with it, but really well done series. And then, let's see, this one breaks my heart, because there was this show had so much potential, and then it got canceled, and I'm still mad at Netflix for it. There's a series called The OA, and, I think it's one of those shows that just either got canceled, or is just, you know, indeterminately, discontinued for the time being, but it has been that way since, like, 2022 or something. Or 21 or something like that. But it's hard for me to want to recommend it to people, but the first season is already good, and you're going to be left wanting to know more. Also a series dealing with the themes of alternate universes, alternate realities, psychic connections and such. Really good mystery, and it even has some elements like the soundtrack, one of the main things that sells a series for me is the soundtrack. And the OA has a similar kind of retro synth, dark synth, spooky vibe soundtrack. And I really enjoyed that. If you're curious, of course, I recommend it. But just know, the series was not finished. I think it was one of those that, like, either Netflix ran out of money for it, or COVID, or it's happened. Either way, it is frustrating because it is not a complete series, but it was off to a really good start, and I'm just hoping and praying and keeping my fingers crossed that there will be another show like it, or they continue on to another season, because it has so much potential. It has so much good potential. I really want to see it, especially now. I think that there's a renewed interest in these shows with this theme. I wonder. Hopefully we can get Netflix's attention if more people become interested in the OA. So we'll see. But yeah, those are the top ones for me that I think are, like, really closely aligned with the Stranger Things mystery, reality, sci-fi, paranormal themes. There are others. Of course, Twin Peaks, classic. There's are a few more on there that I think are more like movies, but Maniac. I don't know. I think that one's an HBO one, but has some similar like the themes of experimental labs and a little bit of like psychicness and these themes of like psychic abilities, secret government programs, experiments, and things like that. I could keep going on the list, so more will probably pop up in my head, but those are the ones that I have watched, in fact, probably more than once. And maybe I'll give Paper Girls a try, because that's one I haven't tried yet. Anyways, if you are left with a void after Stranger Things, I hear you, I feel it, it's rough. We'll try to find... good luck on your journey to find similar things, because I'm also now left with a void. But anyways, yeah, nostalgia, character development, mystery, and sci-fi and horror and comedy, all these different themes pulled together in one. The timeline over which this show has followed us, all these things I think really make Stranger Things an iconic show. And it's been really interesting to watch it evolve into the mega hit that it has over the years. And with that said, I am going to go a little bit into, you know, the spoiler section. So this last about 10 minutes of the show, feel free to skip if you are not caught up. I am going to be kind of dropping some teams, just kind of nerding out and talking about the season finale. So if you have not watched the season finale and you don't want any spoilers, feel free to skip the rest of the show from here, and I'll catch up with you another time. I hope you've enjoyed this far. And good luck finding a show to fill the void, which I now very much feel in about Stranger Things. So yeah, thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you up next time. However, if you have watched the series and you want to just like, I don't know, talk about it a little bit, vent, geek out about it, rant about it, now is the time. Okay, you have been warned. So, season 5. Mixed feelings, mixed reviews. A lot of people seem to think that the series was a little bit rushed. And I think, let's see. I'm okay with the way it ended. I don't think it was the most satisfying ending ever, but it was also something that I feel like it makes sense. Everything ended up kind of making sense for the plot, but it left a lot of holes to be filled. Okay, first and foremost, if you've seen the actual finale all the way through, one of the things that's blowing up on the internet is where were all the Demogorgons during the final fight? There's a theory that the Demogorgons all were absorbed by the Mind Flayer to give it a flesh body, and that's why you didn't see any Demogorgons, because they were being absorbed by the Demogorgon to give it a flesh body. Possible. I don't know if that's the actual the Duffer Brothers like writing or not, but okay, that would kind of make sense. But they just left a lot of confusion for people because it wasn't clear. Also in the final battle scene, like, we see the kids had to go climb up these cliffs. And, like, dude, this huge, dude, it was a huge scene, and some of the things just didn't make sense. Like, some of the characters would have had to climb up these giant cliffs that would have taken hours to climb, and they get up there in, like, 5 minutes, and it just is like, what? Okay. Just, you know, little plot things like that, details that just don't quite make sense. And then I think just... Okay, the Einstein-Rosen bridge thing. Okay, you're gonna introduce us to a whole new reality. And I think this wasn't too much of a surprise, because if you go back to season 4, you see little bits of this other world. Again, very much spoiler alert. If you've seen it all the way through, you know that the Upside Down is part of a bridge that connects to another dimension. It's this sort of reality that was created in space between our world and this other world in which Vecna was vanquished and where he was hiding. So you're going to introduce an entirely new planet in the very last season, in the very last episode. Like, what? Okay. I think they could have fleshed that out so much. I don't know. I wonder if it was just a matter of logistics in the series kind of running out of time, and with in the cast and crew, etc., they kind of had to rush things along a little bit, maybe, but I do think they could have fleshed that out more. But overall, you know, of course, it this is very heavily sci-fi. The end of it, it almost becomes like just fantasy. But I don't know. It was cool. It was a cool idea. It was a cool concept. And I'd like to see that they evolve again, they continue to expand the mystery until the very end. Now we have to talk about Vecna's character. I feel like there was a discontinuation between season 4 and season 5. And let me just say, like, the whole season 5 variation of Vecna, where he's like the Mr. What's It. Okay, Jamie Campbell-Bauer is a beautiful man and a fantastic actor. And I think this series really elevated his career. And I hope it, well, I at least hope it does, because he absolutely deserves it. He did a fantastic job playing Vecna, a.k.a. Henry, a.k.a. One, a.k.a. Mr. What's It. This guy's got many names. But I'm just confused as to the sort of, it feels like there's a disconnect between the Vecna we see in season 4, who is like a monster. He really is more, you see him almost exclusively as a monster. Who hunts people. He's hunting teenagers, kids and teenagers, and people, he's preying on people's vulnerabilities, and he's almost like this representation of our own inner demons, right? And this is a theme which he more closely resembled many other sort of villains, where we see this sort of, it's almost very similar to It, from Stephen King's It character, or even, heck, Voldemort. Anakin. I kept coming up with like character comparisons for Vecna, and how many, he's just seemed like a little bit of another iteration of this this villain trope, where it's this villain that has or gains supernatural abilities and can infiltrate the minds of his prey or victims, and by showing them awful things and preying upon their own insecurities, traumas, vulnerabilities, etc. And it's this kind of, I think, thematic sort of metaphor for how we all fight our own inner demons and our own intrusive thoughts and our own worst selves. So that's, I mean, always relevant, of course, but very much been there, done that. And then in season 5, we see a change. We see a shift, and he is no longer like hunting teenagers and levitating them and popping out their eyeballs and stuff. He's now going back to calling back to all the way back to season 1, where he was abducting children and using them to power sort of hive mind powers, essentially. You know, it's grand simplification. And if you think of it that way, that version of Vecna, the season 5 Vecna, makes more sense if you go all the way back to season 1. And here's a huge, another like kind of fun fact Easter egg spoiler. There's a theory that you actually catch a glimpse of Vecna at the very beginning of season 1, when Will first disappears. And if you then watch all the way through to season 5, you see that arc come all the way around full circle. Why Will was taken, why other kids are being taken, how it all works. Also, Will getting powers, like, finally. I've been waiting for Will to become the main character. You know what? I feel like he was supposed to be like the main character, and he's barely been an active participant in anything that's happening in the story from most of the past seasons. And it was just good to see him finally come into his power and get his own moment, see him get to be the main character again in some ways. So, or a main character. But yeah, just the like, okay, so why was Vecna going around popping people's eyeballs out in season 4 if this whole time he was just accumulating, you know, taking kids to power up his hive mind powers? Like, it just doesn't quite make sense. That being said, I do love the Vecna villain, like, as a villain, and especially season 5, you have this sort of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Mr. What's It versus the monster that is Vecna. And yeah, I did end up really liking the sort of the villain story overall, and the different types of monsters and stuff. I just think, again, there were holes there. The plot could have been more thought out. It should have been a little more fleshed out. There's pieces missing, but yeah, I don't know. It's definitely, I think, felt a little bit rushed in the end, I would say. I think some people maybe even compare it to the end of Game of Thrones. I think that's going a step too far. If you know anything about the Game of Thrones series and the way it ended and the finale, you know, I think it seems like that the production basically was just so done with it. They kind of kicked the bucket and really fumbled the finale. And I don't think Stranger Things was like that. It left some things to be desired, but overall, I was happy with it. So, with that being said, that is the end of an era. Stranger Things is complete. The story goes on, and, you know, it kind of left off where the characters go on and live on their own lives, and you can kind of fill in the gaps and make up maybe your own theories about what happens and where is Eleven? Is she alive? Where did she go? You know, I think the series did a good job of leaving unanswered questions in that sense, where it's intentional, so that you can continue to think about, well, what, you know, what did happen? What is next? And that's a good ending for that series, I think. But it is definitely bittersweet. The show that defined an era. Where do we go from here? I don't know yet, but I would love to know what you think. Do you watch Stranger Things? What did you think about the finale? What do you think about the show in general? What were your favorite parts? Who were your favorite characters and why? And where would you like... What would you have changed, if anything, about the series? If you have thoughts, you can send me an email at sodidyouhear@kyrs.org. I love to hear your feedback. But that is all the time we have for today. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you all enjoyed this episode, and I will catch you all on the upside down next time. All right, everybody. Take care.